Hello, I'm Stephanie London, and I'd like to thank you for tuning in to this sermon at St. Columba Anglican Church in Beaumont. It's the third Sunday of Easter, May 1st, 2022, and we're reading John chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. This tells the story of an encounter Jesus had with his disciples a few days after he rose from the dead. But first, fishing. Fishing for me is about scarcity. I remember just two fishing experiences from my childhood. Once, when we were on a family vacation, my dad waded out into the ocean off the BC coast and caught a tiny fish this big, which he released back into the water. When the same fish started swimming after his hook again, he figured he'd better move somewhere else. Then he caught a clam. It snapped right onto the hook, and we had to boil it off to get the hook out. Another time, we were camping in Waterton and thought we would fish there just for fun. I forget who cast first, but the top half of the rod flew out into the lake where it remains to this day. And that was it for fishing. Of course, it's not nothing. Standing by the water with people you love in a beautiful location is a pretty great way to spend a day. But in my experience, unfortunately, fishing is just ing. There is no fish. I expect it might be different if I knew what I was doing or I'd put years into practicing. Or maybe not. Peter and Thomas, Nathaniel, James and John, and two disciples that aren't named knew what they were doing. They'd been fishing for years in the same lake for their living. They knew the best techniques and where to go. But this night, they caught nothing. For Peter, it was a rough night of fruitless work on top of a rough week. 3 years with Jesus, and just the week before, he denied even knowing him. At Jesus' worst hour, Peter just ran away. When it was too much for him, when Jesus had been arrested and taken off to be killed, and Peter hadn't been able to save him, even though he tried, when it was too much to bear, 3 times Peter said, "I am not one of his disciples." Maybe he felt that in his heart, that he'd given up his chance, that he truly was no longer worthy to be called a follower of Jesus. And if Peter is an ex-disciple who denied following his Lord, what does that make him? Just a fisherman. I hear the resignation in his voice. "I'm going fishing. Nothing else to do." It's as if for a moment he forgets that the past 3 years have even happened. He understands fishing. It fits in his world. He's competent here. But at being a disciple, clearly not so much. So he goes back to what he knows. But they catch nothing at all, and it would seem to Peter that he's lost his touch. Disciple failure? Check. Fishing failure? Also check. The sun rises, and they look towards the shore, and there's a man standing there, and he calls out, "You have no fish, have you? Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." And they do, and they find that miraculously the nets are so full they can hardly handle them. Like all Jesus' miracles, this one makes a pretty great point, because this isn't the only time he's filled their nets. This should sound familiar because Jesus performed this same miracle one other time. It's recorded in Luke chapter 5 under the heading, "Jesus Calls His First Disciples." And it involves some familiar people. Jesus is teaching to the crowds, and the people are crowding around him so much that he gets into the boat belonging to Simon Peter and asks Peter to row out a little bit. When he finishes speaking, he tells Simon Peter to row out a little farther and throw the nets in for a catch. Simon Peter protests, "Lord, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I'll let down the nets." So he does, and they draw up such a large number of fish that their nets begin to break, and they have to call their friends. And even so, there are so many fish that both boats threaten to sink. When Simon Peter sees this, he falls at Jesus' feet and says, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." Jesus answers, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they pull their boats up on the shore, leave everything, and follow Jesus. Now, when Peter has denied his discipleship, denied following Jesus, and his place in Jesus' work seems to have ended, Jesus meets him in the same place, on the shore of the Lake of Galilee, when their own work has come up dry, at the moment he first called Peter and his friends to follow him. And again, Jesus says, "Throw your nets over." And again, they come up full. And it's as though he's saying, "You can't drive yourself away that easily. My grace is bigger than anything you can do. I'm still calling you to fish for people." Jesus is healing Peter's heart. He's saying, "Listen, Peter, if I can fill your nets with fish, I have enough grace for you. If my grace is big enough for the fish, just think how abundant it is for my people." Jesus has a charcoal fire there on a beach, there on the beach with fish and bread. Maybe he's been out fishing too. Anyway, he invites them over and asks them to join in. "Bring some of your fish too," he tells them. And so they sit and eat. Smells evoke memories. A whiff of baby hair takes you back to the children you've known. Or something baking takes you back to your grandmother's kitchen. A charcoal fire takes Peter back to the place he denied knowing Jesus. The only other charcoal fire in the Bible is the one the slaves and police had made the night they arrested Jesus. Peter had been there warming himself. When they asked him if he was one of them, one of Jesus' disciples, he panicked and was confused, and Peter said no. Jesus takes him back to that great shame that's weighing down his heart, that's holding him back. But this time, that charcoal fire is warming the food, and Jesus is alive, and Jesus is still feeding them. And Jesus is letting Peter know, "If I can give you more fish than your nets can hold, I can deal with your shame. I can restore your discipleship. I will do more than you can ask or imagine." 153 fish is a ton of fish, definitely more than I would catch in 5 lifetimes. If you were to eat 1 week, that's 3 years worth of fish. If you eat one each day, that's still 5 months of fish. 5 months of fish for a handful of fishermen in a place where there's no refrigeration, no place to store them, nowhere big enough to cook them. Just a few people gathered around this fire having breakfast with Jesus on the beach. And yet at the hands of these few disciples, the way of Jesus is about to explode. Because there's only one way to deal with such a catch. You have to get out there and share it. Everyone you meet gets a fish. You haul that fabulous catch through the streets and you find people to give them to. It's the original Oprah. You get a fish, and you get a fish, and you get a fish. Everyone gets a fish. And maybe you're all so excited about this meal that you find a central place and you build a bonfire and you cook the fish. Maybe somebody pulls out a guitar. Maybe the kids are playing around in the streets until late into the night. And everyone is full. Everyone is satisfied. Everyone is happy. For Jesus, fishing is about abundant grace, second and third and fourth and fifth chances and more. Resurrection is also about abundant grace, grace upon grace upon grace. And that means more than enough for everyone. It means the door is always open and there's always a way back. So where is your empty lake of despair? Is there something you've given up on so that you're just paddling around hoping for some sort of result? Where do you desperately need to be filled with God's abundant grace? Ask today for the abundant power of the resurrection in that place to show you Jesus filling it to overflowing.